So the way you get an economic impact statement like that is you try to estimate the number of people who come to town for the big game, how much they're going to be spending while they're here, how many days they're going to stay. And then you also apply what's called a multiplier. And a multiplier is when you spend money at a local retailer, and then that retailer spends money at the restaurant, and then that server re-spends money again and again. And that multiplier might then double the initial amount of money that comes into the city in the first place.
You've argued in the past that researchers have the incentive to exaggerate the amount because that it can generate. Why is that?
Well, so there's two reasons why you might want to give an exaggerated number. Number one is sports leagues are often coming hat in hand to try to ask for a big handout when building new stadiums. For example, we had that in Miami a few years ago when you built a new baseball stadium. And, of course, there was talk about that with a new Major League Soccer stadium as well. So that's number one. Number two is there are also big expenses and lots of hassles associated with hosting the Super Bowl as well. So you might be asking for money, hundreds of millions of dollars for a new stadium, and you might be asking for tens of millions of dollars to host a big mega event like the Super Bowl.
So do you think that the NFL is using its gravitas to make cities basically compete with each other to host this big game?
So there's no doubt about that. The NFL has very specifically rewarded cities that build new stadiums at big taxpayer expense. That's why we had a Super Bowl recently in places like Santa Clara and places like Minneapolis, new stadiums coming online. And they also realize that there is big money associated with, again, putting on one of these events. It might cost as much as $50 million of direct expenses and of tax exemptions to host the Super Bowl. And the way you get cities to pay that money is by making cities believe there's a huge return to be associated with that.
Do you think Miami maybe benefited from the fact that, you know, they didn't build a new stadium, they had to renovate the old one, and it was on the owner's expense? Taxpayers said, not this time.
Most economists like myself, we're not anti-stadium and we're not anti-Super Bowl, but what we are is anti-taxpayer subsidy for a person's private business. Again, if the owner of the Miami Dolphins or the owner of the Marlins is going to profit from the stadium, then of course they're the ones who should be paying for that stadium. There's no real reason that Miami as a whole and a typical taxpayer should be paying for someone else's business.
As you said, cities have to pay a lot up front. I mean, you got police, infrastructure, so many other things to prepare, just to prepare for the game, let alone all the events, the 2 weeks up to the game. But have we ever found, a situation where the city made less and didn't benefit at all?
Yeah, so that's hard to say because a lot of this stuff is under the table. We don't always get a good accounting. I think most economists would suggest that the Super Bowl is roughly a break even for cities, and cities might actually come out a little bit ahead as long as we don't count in a big expenditure for building a new stadium. And of course, Miami's lucky here that they've been able to host multiple Super Bowls with, you know, just their one new stadium that they built in the late 1980s. So that's actually a pretty good deal. But don't expect a city like Minneapolis to get much of their $500 million stadium investment back just because of a single Super Bowl.
And what about the fact, too, I wonder if Miami is uniquely positioned here. I mean, we get a lot of visitors, especially this time of year. This is really the great time of year because it's not cold down here and the weather is great. Are we better positioned than a Minneapolis or an Atlanta because we're Miami?
That's a good thought, but actually it's exactly the opposite. So when it comes to the economic benefit, you have to decide, well, what's going to happen when the Super Bowl's here versus what would actually happen during a normal day or a normal weekend in Miami. And since Miami's such a good tourist destination in early February anyway, your hotels were likely to be pretty full of tourists with full wallets willing to spend money here. And therefore, the Super Bowl actually displaces a lot of activity that would have occurred anyway. In Minneapolis, where it's not exactly a tourist wonderland in early February, those hotels are not quite as full. And therefore, it's actually better for the city to have a Super Bowl in a Minneapolis than in a Florida because again, Minneapolis wouldn't have been full and wouldn't have been at capacity already. And the data actually shows that. So when we look at, for example, the number of additional hotel rooms purchased, in Minneapolis, it was about 60,000 additional hotel room nights due to their Super Bowl a couple of years ago. When it came to Phoenix the year before that, the number of additional hotel rooms was only about 30,000. Again, because those Phoenix hotel rooms are pretty full in February, the Minneapolis hotel rooms aren't.
I'm speaking with economist Victor Matheson at Holy Cross University. Matheson is a sports economist that has studied the economic impact of Super Bowls and the cost they can have on cities. Miami is going to be hosting Super Bowl 54 Sunday, February 2nd. And some estimates have hundreds of millions of dollars in expected revenues for the region. One of the more interesting pieces, you started talking about the hotels there. You know, almost all the hotels are going to be charging way above normal prices. Some are in the tens of thousands, I've read. There's even a hotel in Homestead, by the way, which is more than an hour away, that's jacking up prices. But do we get a sense, though, of how that windfall for the hotels is actually being distributed, how locals are going to be feeling that?
Yeah, so that's a great point. That's a perfect example of how money being spent in the city might not actually stick in the city. And this is what economists call a leakage. Yeah, there's no doubt that during the Super Bowl, you get hotel room rates that are three or four times the normal rates. But those same hotels aren't increasing the wages of their room cleaners and their desk clerks by a factor of three or four. So a lot of that money, especially if you've got a national chain for a hotel, that money's not actually sticking in Miami. It is going back to corporate headquarters in New York City. So money's being made, but it's not being made by the city of Miami. If it's Miami that actually has to bear all the burden of the extra, you know, policing and transportation and sanitation, then you have the cost being borne by Miami, but the benefits being borne by someone outside of the city.
So one of the interesting things for us is we haven't hosted a Super Bowl in Miami in a decade. The last time we did, there was no such thing as Uber or Lyft or Airbnb. With Airbnb, we've seen massive price gouging on the site for rooms going for hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. But I wondered what's changed and if there's a benefit here for residents because of the Super Bowl, if they have the opportunity to say, you know, now that all the guests aren't going to the hotels, they might be going to people's homes.
Yeah, so that's actually a good example of a way to maybe keep more of the money in Miami rather than having it leak out through corporate headquarters. But the Uber example is actually a good one and an interesting one. I was in Houston for the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and I had Uber drivers the entire time I was there. About half of my Uber drivers were not actually from Houston. They had come down from Dallas or come down from San Antonio knowing that there was going to be a lot of business. So here's an example, another example, again, of a leakage where there was money spent. I certainly spent a lot of money on Uber rides while I was there, but that didn't stick in the pockets of local Houston drivers because, again, a lot of drivers came in from around the state and around the country to try to capitalize on that. And, again, that's money that's not sticking in the host city but leaving with those drivers when they went back home.
It's no surprise. I mean, mayors will brag about the opportunity to host the Super Bowl. I mean, it's a bragging right. But also, and you've heard this too, they'll say, well, you know what? I mean, it's a lot of attention for my city. You know, that's a lot of, free advertising for 2 weeks, constant advertising on television. That's got to be good, right?
So the tourism literature suggests that the biggest way that you generate tourism is through word of mouth. So I come down to Miami for a spring break or for Christmas, and I have a great time, and I tell all my friends and neighbors what a wonderful time I had in the city. And then, you know, the next year they come themselves. That doesn't seem to happen when we've got big sporting events, because if I come down for the Super Bowl, I don't talk about all the fantastic things that Miami has to offer. I talk about how cool the Super Bowl was and the halftime show was awesome. And, oh, I met John Madden in a restaurant. And then my friends and neighbors say, oh, that sounds great. Maybe I'll go to the Super Bowl sometime. So what a tourist coming to the Super Bowl does is they generate additional visits to future Super Bowls, not necessarily additional visits to those host cities.
You know, people may not realize if they don't know Miami well, the game itself is not in Miami. Hard Rock Stadium is way outside of Miami's urban core. It's in Miami Gardens. How can the location of a stadium be critical in determining the impact that it's going to have on economic activity or potentially deterring that activity?
So that really is interesting. We do have some cases like this. We had a similar case in San Francisco when they hosted the Super Bowl a few years ago. The actual stadium is much closer to San Jose. The funny thing is Santa Clara, again, close to San Jose, hosted the game in their stadium, but almost all the additional hotel room nights were up in San Francisco. So it really is a case when you have to determine who has to pay for all the transportation and security, but who is benefiting from the additional hotel, hotel stays, and all the different, hospitality spending that happens when you're there. And that can certainly happen, and Miami wouldn't be the first place where the people are staying a different place than the stadium is.
You know, if I'm an average restaurant owner, bar owner, I'm likely to see a bump in business for the game, and not just from visitors. I'm talking about, from locals who, maybe they're throwing their own Super Bowl parties, and so they want the extra wings and hot sauce and beer. I'm curious if you've looked at how different it is for cities hosting the game, when it comes to these kind of businesses versus just a normal, Sunday, football Sunday.
Well, we know that the Super Bowl, I'm not anti-Super Bowl, just anti-subsidy for Super Bowl. And we know that the Super Bowl is one of the, maybe last great shared social events in the United States. In terms of television viewership, it will be the most viewed TV show in the United States in the year by about a factor of two. There's almost nothing else like this, and it cuts across demographics and it cuts across politics. But while we all have these big parties, it doesn't necessarily mean we're eating that much more, but we're just eating more with more people, right? The Super Bowl isn't necessarily that big a net economic impact, although it's a huge party for the country. Because I just eat at my friends and neighbors' houses, I eat all those wings and all that guacamole, rather than doing that and having a normal dinner at my house. So there's another example of something that looks big when you look at it in one place. The amount of money spent on Super Bowl parties is huge, but in terms of the total net expenditures that people do at grocery stores, not that much more, because it's not like we would have sat there and starved all day Sunday if there wasn't a big game on.
I wondered if Miami, again, coming back to this idea, Miami is unique in this sense, too. We've now hosted this game more times than any other city. We're now at 10 times, and we're going to pitch to try to host it again in the future. But doesn't that give Miami a little bit of an edge because we've hosted it so many times, so we know this rodeo well?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the NFL really likes Miami as a host. Between Miami and New Orleans, I think they would almost be happy to go and just alternate between the two every year. Obviously, Miami's a great place that the players like to go, the corporate executives like to go, and we know that Miami is used to these sort of events, and so they know they can get the job done. That being said, the NFL really does like to spread this out because it's a very nice carrot to dangle in front of otherwise reluctant taxpayers to say, hey, look how much fun it looked like Miami was having hosting that Super Bowl. Build us a new stadium and maybe you guys can have a nice Super Bowl party like that too in your own hometown. So I think, for the foreseeable future, we'll definitely see Super Bowls in locations, any location that builds either a stadium in the south or a domed stadium in the north, they build a new stadium and they're going to get a Super Bowl. We're going to see a Super Bowl in LA very shortly once that new stadium is constructed, and we're going to see a Super Bowl in Las Vegas very shortly after the Oakland Raiders move to Vegas here in a couple of years.